Amen. 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 Okay. All right. I have had enough. So the last couple of weeks, we have been endeavoring. I was talking to my wife weeks ago and just talking about some of the stuff that personally I've walked through. And, you know, I wanted to do like a message of overcoming and victory and those types of things. And I was struggling coming up with a concept of how to package it. You know, you're always worried. I always, as a teacher and a speaker, you're always trying to package things. And let's just be honest, like really, you're just repackaging things that you've heard before. Like a lot of us have heard before. You've been in church for more than 6 months. You've probably heard the same types of messages over and over and over, right? So teach those things over and over and over. You just always are trying to repackage them. So I was just kind of talking to Julie, and we're just kind of discussing it out on our porch. And she said, "Well, what did you do? What did you do? You've overcome some things." And I said, "Yep, I've overcome some things." And so, what are some of the principles that you've put in? And it was amazing. I didn't even have to think about it. It just started rattling right off of my heart. There's principles, and there's things that we can do to live a life that is an overcoming life. You know, you don't have to be in this world. We're not supposed to. We don't have to just let the world overtake us. We don't have to let the world and situations and problems and all difficulties overtake us. And we're not called to. So the first thing I talked about as Julie and I were talking, I said, you know what you have to have? You have to have hope. You have to have hope that things will be different, that things can be different. Now, there's a lot to unpack in hope. There's a lot to unpack in will things get different, because some things that we're involved with, we're comfortable with, and some things that we're just this part of who we are, and we'll maybe get to that a little bit later this morning. But you got to have hope that things will change, that things can get better, that things will change. And also, the other part of that is you have to know that you are loved by God. Aren't you glad that that God's love for you is not dependent, is not a worldly type of love, but it's the love that God loves you regardless of who you are. Like it's so well displayed in the scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? For God so loved the world that he gave, right? And so there's ideas of that God loves you. He loved you first. And all we do is a response to his love for us. And it's constant. We talked about the word, the Hebrew word that has to do with God's love is his loyal love, faithful love, right? So we talked about that. Then we said, Julie and I were talking, I said, well, you also need to know who you are. You need to know who you are in relationship to God. So we talked about last week, we talked about your good position with God, right? Who you are. And so we'll get to that in a minute. We'll kind of go into that. We talked about, remember we put the chair up on the stage here, and we talked about that. That was 2 weeks ago. How many weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Last week we put the chair up here, and so we read the scripture that says you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and then before that we found out that Jesus has been given a place in heaven far above all principalities and powers. So if we're seated with him, in him, through his authority, we are far above all powers and all things that would want to come against us, right? And we also said this. Oh, here it is. That's amazing. We also said that not only were you We also said that not only were you born again, right? You were saved from your sins. But we also said that you are now a new creation in Christ. And we made this statement. We said that you aren't just a patched up version of your old self. You're not just all of the broken pieces of your life and then all glued back together in some kind of mosaic kind of. No, you are a brand new creation in Christ. Actually, you are recreated into God, the perfect image of who God has called you individually to be. Right? And so we talked about that, not that this once was a lump of clay. Now it is something brand new, right? It's a new thing, actually with a purpose. And I will indulge with this purpose. It's good stuff. So let's get back to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to go a little bit further with that idea that we are who we are and where we are seated. And we're going to read a long portion of scripture. Yep, here we go. Just want to make sure. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, we read this last week, says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us before the foundations of the world." By the way, if you want to go back, last week we talked a little bit about the whole predestination idea and what that's all about and how that's not really where I land. And we explained the scripture last week, so go back and listen to last week as we explained this. "But he chose us before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us," there's that crazy word, "to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one. In him," everybody say, "in him,
in him,
we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on all of us with wisdom and understanding." Right? So a lot of us stop there. A lot of places, that's where we stop. That, hey, you've been forgiven of your sins. Now hang out till you die so you can go to heaven. That's what most of us have understood the gospel to be. That is a big part of the gospel. It is not the only part of the gospel that we'll see here in a minute. He said, "He made us to know the mysteries of the will according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ, and as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him." And it says, "in him," everybody say, "in him, we also," oh, there's more, "we also have received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with his purpose of his will, so that we who already put our hope in Christ may bring the praise to his glory." So much in that. And then it says in verse 13, "in him," everybody say, "in him, you were also sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed." So he prays this. He says all these things, that we have been forgiven, right? That we have also received an inheritance. We've also received the Holy Spirit. Just in here, in these three of the many in him scriptures that are throughout scripture, or in Christ scripture as well. But that we have not only has received forgiveness, but we've an inheritance and actually the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says then in the scriptures going down that we'll just paraphrase that the only way you're going to get to know and realize these things is by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, by revelation of the Holy Spirit. That means that listen, if you were just going to have it, if it was just going to be dropped into your understanding, he wouldn't pray that you would get it, right? So it means then that this is not normal thought for us. This is something that's going to have to change in our thinking about how we think. There's such a great class this morning on healing, and because we're changing our thinking about how we think about the subject of healing. And so in this too. So this is part of the inheritance. So if God says, if I'm going to pray that you'll get it, that means that we're not necessarily going to have it, even though we are in him. This is going to take revelation to actually walk in. And then in verse 19, he says this. He says, and, so going back to some of the promises that we've been given in Christ, "what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to his mighty work of his strength." So we have not just normal power. We have been given supernatural power. He says in his prayer, he prays this. That's what it is. He prays, "and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards you?" Right? He wants you to get it according to the working of his strength. So let me just back up and say this. So the book of Ephesians, and a little bit of review, it has to do, it's really set up in two parts, the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters and the last three chapters. First three chapters are all about your inheritance, all about who you are, It's all identity talk. Who you've been made, who you now, I want, and then he said, I want you to get it because you don't have it. I want you to not get it, not being obtain it, meaning to understand it. I want it to grasp it. I want you to lay hold of this promise and allow it to be a part of who you are, right? So he says, and so in the first part, he's telling all about who you are and what's been done for you through Christ. And then the second half, he actually starts going through and talking about how this is going to look in your life, right? So he says, actually, he says, so then walk accordingly to what you've been given, right? So like one of the things he talks about, he's preaching to a different culture. He's preaching to, actually, this letter is to churches that have both Jews and Gentiles, right? People who were people, the Jews who know the story of God, right? They know the whole thing. And these Gentiles are kind of just kind of heard about it, but they're kind of new into this, but they fully embrace Jesus, right? So he's preaching to these two people. And part of this thing, Paul is saying, hey, because y'all are so different, this gospel thing, because of you, who you are and who you know that you are, it's going to cause you guys to get along. That's just for back then, evidently. So, but it's going to cause you from different cultures, different backgrounds, different skin colors, different all kind of other stuff. It's going to cause you guys to be unified under the King of Jesus, right? And so it's going to cause us to have one purpose and one goal. So then it struck me as we were talking. So if this is going to help me walk in unity with my brothers and sisters, if it's going to cause me to know my calling, as he will talk about later in Ephesians, if it's going to cause me to understand how I personally relate to family members and people in the community and all those kind of things, it's going to cause us to do that. And then later, some of our favorite scriptures, Ephesians 6, it's going to cause me to understand who my enemy is and how to overcome my enemy. But all of that is under the umbrella of who you are in relationship to God. Your identity really lays the foundation of how you will live this out in your life. But then he uses this word inheritance. He said, you've been given an inheritance. And I thought for a moment, and there's a lot, I could spend a lot of time on inheritance and who you are and how you've been given an inheritance. But I felt led to go back to this scripture in Luke chapter 4. Think about this as the inheritance that Jesus has given us. And it's really in part of his declaration of who he is and what he came to do, right? So Luke chapter 4, this is Jesus talking. He's actually quoting the prophets. And he's reading from the Isaiah. And he's acknowledging that this thing, that this person that they were talking about is actually the one standing in front of you. Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim, release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind and set free the oppressed. Let's talk about those. He just actually, and then he goes on and says, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, let's stop in these. This was Jesus' kind of mission statement, right? So understand that if Jesus came to do these things that was accomplished on the cross, then that is part of your inheritance. So what are those things? What are those things? It's to preach the good news to the poor. It sent me to release the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set free the oppressed. So these things are ours. So what is the poor? Well, I think there's dualistic notions to this scripture. I don't believe that God's called us to be poor. God called us to have an abundance towards every good work, right? And poor, the poor as in the downcast, the lowly, Jesus is the ultimate lifter of those who are oppressed and downcast in our culture and our society, right? He is always the lifter of broken people, right? He also uses this term. He says, I came to release. What's the word? He says he release. Yeah, the word is release. The captives, people who are captive, and recovery of sight to the blind. I believe it's both. I believe it's physical, and I believe it's also a spiritual blindness. And to set free the oppressed. That means if I am poor in those kind of ways, then Jesus came to fix that. That means that I am captive by anything, Jesus came to fix that. If I am spiritually blind, physically blind, we got these ailments or whatever they are, Jesus came to release, he came to recover those things, sight to the blind. And he's also caused us to set free the oppressed, right? So these things, listen, I'll just say it like this. If these things are not in us, if we're being oppressed, let's stick to those two, especially I want to acknowledge those two. If we're being held captive by things, if we're being oppressed by thoughts, actions, whatever they are, being oppressed, put down, we talked about this, living a subpar life, then Jesus came to release you from those things, right? He's actually says that he was going to set free those who are oppressed. That is your inheritance. I don't know about you, but if Jesus died to provide those things for me, now I have an inheritance and I'm not walking in it, that's a problem. I don't want to waste what Jesus did. Like, so here's the word. I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough of the enemy running ransacked over my life and trashing my life. I've had enough. There came a point in my life, in different times of my life, where I said, no, I am not putting up with this. This is not happening to me. And I'm getting famous for the finger wag. And not to me. Not to me. Maybe I need to write make a t-shirt. Little finger wagging, not to me, you don't. Satan, not to me, you don't. This is my inheritance. I am not called to live in a bound, subpar, pressed down life. I have been given life, eternal life, to flourish and to enjoy life in this life and the life to come. This is not a promise to the future. Actually, Paul says, he goes, I want you to understand it in this age and in the age to come. This is not just heaven talk. This is where we are. Like, if this was just heaven talk, why would Paul want you to understand it now? So how do you take possession? How do you take your seat? It's resist. You have to resist. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. And just to let you know, as I wrote this message, it was very scattered. So hopefully all this scattered is going to come together in a good, solid message. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, starting in verse 8. It says, see, be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Huh. I just caught that. That means not everyone he can devour. He's looking for anyone he can devour. Don't you love when the Holy Spirit's in it? Verse 9, resist him. Everybody say resist. Yes. Say, I've had enough. Say it, oh my goodness. Say it like it means, I've had enough. Thank you. I love it. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. He says, he gives us things. This is resistance talk. This is pushback talk. This is the not to me you don't devil. This doesn't belong here. It's got to go, right? This is, Yeah, that dog that doesn't belong in my yard is in my yard. Get. Right? This is resistance talk. How many of you got those dogs? That dog is pooping in my yard again. It's got to go. It's got to go. Get. Boy, there's a lot of analogies that are floating around in my head right now about what the devil does in our own lives. But he asks us this. Now watch this. He tells us three things that we can do in this stance of resistance. The first thing he says is be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. What does that mean? He's not just talking about don't be drunk. That's a different kind of sober, right? He's talking and he said, I want you to be sober-minded. This is intentional thinking. This is like on purpose thoughts, right? This is not, you're not, as it were, drunken by the difficulties of your life. This is being sober in how you think. I think differently. The first step, if you're ever going to be a person that resists, is you have to get under control your thinking. Be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Actually, that's this word. It's vigilant in your thoughts. A mind not controlled by anything else. It's sober. The only thing I'm controlled by is God's word, right? I'm sober-minded. What is the truth? What is the thing I can stand on? I'm going to be sober-minded in how I think about this situation. Because the first thing you need to know is that this thing that's coming against you is not part of you. It's not supposed to be who you are. Right? Insecurity, let me just tell you this. Insecurity has nothing to do with Ephesians 1, chapter 1 through 3. Insecurity is nowhere in that. We understand that? Insecurity is not in there. Confidence of who you are is in there. And then the next thing he says, be sober-minded. Watch what you think. Because the very next part is the devil will attack. Right? He says, no. He says, be on alert. Be on alert. Knowing that attacks not might come, they will come. They will come. They will come. There'll be attacks on you in your life and parents, your family's lives. The people in that on our church, right? Any place on your job, you business owners, on your job, right? The people that you love, there will be attacks. There'll be attacks. Actually, it's amazing because most of those attacks come right here in our minds and in our thinking. They're here. And actually, if you really break it all down, they'll attack you on the first three chapters of Ephesians chapter, your identity of who you are. All of a sudden, happened to Jesus, right? Oh, that's so good, Jessica, you're so amazing. That is so right on. It happened to Jesus. If you are Jesus, if you are who you say you are, jump off this cliff, right? Command these stones to be bread. I know you're hungry. If you are who you say you are, Jesus, he will attack your identity. So seeing difficulties come. If you're a guy or a girl, whatever, all of a sudden, I'll just be personal. The Lord just said, be personal. I said, okay. So I remember there was a time in my life when I was a youth pastor. And as being a youth pastor, we were, things were going. We were part of a big church, there was a lot of pressure to succeed. There was a lot of pressure. But this is so good. This may take a minute because I want to really help you understand how this all works. So I remember being a young. Let me back up further. Being younger. And all of a sudden, I was around 21 years old, 22 years old, serving the Lord fervently, like I always have been. But early on, because I really dedicated my life when I was 21 years old, fully. And then all of a sudden realizing that God had like a calling, like a speaking type calling or a pastoring type calling. Started realizing that early. And so my life was going, my dad had passed away. Life was terrible. I had a terrible job and making like hardly anything. And all of a sudden started realizing there was a calling. Watch how you have to be careful with this. Because later on, that calling really became part of my identity. And you really have to watch that. That my calling is not my identity. I am first a dearly loved son of God. I am loved by God first. Because watch what happens. All of a sudden, you get that position. You get that job. And it's not as easy as Bible school told you it was. And then I'm dealing with teenagers. Then I'm dealing with parents of teenagers. All of it. And you're like, Lord, I thought I was just going to preach the gospel and people are just going to just fully accept and like it was going to be great. And it's really tough and hard. And I'm battling every other cultural thing that's out there and telling teenagers to live for Jesus. Right? That's not easy. Right? So watch this. When things would go well, I was doing well. We had a good meeting. We'd have like 60 teenagers show up, have power of God move, kids falling out all over the place, full charismatic amazingness going on. Right? The next week, I'd walk around and go, hey, man, that was good. I'm anointed. Next week, I don't know what kids showed up. They all looked the exact same, but only half of them showed up. And then like during what we had praise and worship, and they just look at you like, yeah, and they just looked at you. Show me something, pastor. And then like nothing happens, like literally like nothing happens. And you just go, man. Then you start questioning who you are. Questioning, pointing your finger back to yourself. Because my identity wasn't in who I was in Jesus. It was who I was as a minister. Wow. So it took a really good addiction, fall, all kind of crazy stuff to get that all worked out. And God worked it out. It's like spaghetti, like all these noodles, like interwoven in your life. And they all kind of, and they actually all like work in different ways. And when you have your identity all messed, it actually works weird in your marriage, and it works weird with your relationship with your kids. It works weird in your relationship because your identity's messed up. Amen. Say it again. No? So, I have no idea. That was the Lord saying amen. So be on alert. What am I saying? I don't know what I was saying, but be on alert. The devil prowls around. He's looking for someone to devour. Be alert. Be alert. Be alert. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked when difficulties come. Don't be shocked when the enemy out of the blue. Okay, true story. Last week, I'm preaching on identity. I speak all the time. All the time. I used to get nervous. I don't get nervous anymore when I speak. Last week, literally, y'all didn't even know. I literally get up here to speak. Flood of insecure thoughts. Flood of, are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you this? Like tons of insecure thoughts flooded my mind in a moment. In a moment. In a moment. So don't be surprised. I think, teaching on identity. Of course the devil's going to attack my identity this morning. Right? So what do you do? Just push through. And under my breath, y'all already know, I'm just speaking the word. I'm in Jesus' name. Nope. This is true. I'm going to speak what's true. And then I'm going to be fired up because I'm mad. Right? Because the enemy will come. Don't be shocked. Right? And then we need to, so be sober. Watch what you think. Have your mind glued, on things that are true, right? Be on alert. Enemies prowling around. And then resist. Not asking, but commanding. So many times we make this mistake where we say, never, that I can think of, has been a place where God commands us to pray to God that the devil would go away. Not in the New Testament. We have authority through Christ. Jesus said, all authority, Jesus says, has been given to me. Therefore, you go and in my name cast out devils. Resist him. It is our job to resist. The prayer when you're going through attacks of, Lord, help me, the devil's after me. That does not belong into the prayers of a believer. It is, I know who I am. I know who you are, devil. In Jesus' name, get out. God is not, if it's fear, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Who am I? Who am I? What am I equipped with? Power, love, I'm loved by God, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. No weapon is fashioned against me will prosper. No, not to me. Not to me. It's formed. Oh, and it's a full and array of barraging on me, but it's not going to prosper. Not to me. So resist. And also this. And you don't think, they got to go to work. Don't think. My own kids left in the middle of my message. Insecure thoughts. Listen, and not also this. You don't sink the devil away. You don't sink the devil away. Like, you don't. Right? You know what you do? Out of your mouth. No. Not to me. No. All of a sudden, you lose your job. Bad things happen. All of a sudden, that thing attacks your insecurities. Go find yourself alone and do some talking. No. Find the scriptures. We've said it for years. Find the scriptures, the truth, the inheritance that you have. Find those scriptures that let you know what those are and use the word to combat that. Use your identity to combat what the devil is trying to lie to you about. Right? How does it play out? We get ungodly beliefs. Ungodly beliefs. Through experiences. Your past experience. Listen, can I pastor a little bit? I know some of you have been through horrendous things. Horrendous things. I hear you. And I know that those aren't easy to just turn the page. And you've been taught so much to just say, you just got to toughen it out. And I know that those words, they sting. I know they do. I hear you. But you're not that person anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. You have been given an inheritance. Those things that have put you down and kept you in living a subpar life because of other people's words. Because of circumstances, because of things that people did to you. You don't have to be subject to that anymore. But it's going to take you to resist. And actually, it's going to help with a family of people around you to resist. You won't resist this alone. That's why the Bible is so full. The New Testament is so full of community. Because you're not called to fight this alone. Right? But in yourself, you must have an attitude of resistance. I am not going to allow this. Nope, not to me. I don't care if you failed in that same sin over and over and over and over. So much. You know what we do to people? We keep people fixated on their one sin, especially this one. I'll just go ahead and name it. especially this pornography thing that we're just like, oh man, the whole church just, it's pornography. It's a thing you're not supposed to say. But like most of the men are fighting it. Right? Can I tell you something, ladies, men? Because we both fight it. You know what? That addiction, that bondage is not your identity. It's not your identity. I was praying with somebody just the other day, a couple weeks ago. And your struggle with that sin is not who you are. It's a part of the battle that you're fighting, but it's not who you are. If you can continually think of it as it's the battle that you're fighting, you'll probably never overcome it. You have to separate who you are from this thing that's attacking your life. Amen? Amen? That's a good truth. And if you understand that, it'll set you free. I'm telling you right now. It's part of my story. Right? Okay, let's just do this. All right, Eric, I need your help. This is what we do. How are we going to overcome these things? So we live our life. Here, help me with this, Eric. Eric's going to be the Holy Spirit.
Can't do it alone.
I can't do it alone. I need the Holy Spirit. Eric's going to represent the Holy Spirit. So, no pressure, Eric. Just the one who lifted mountains out of the oceans and... Yeah. Separated the earth from the... It's just the Holy Spirit I'm up here with right now. Oh, man, if we could just grab that. Come on. So I'm walking around... And I have baggage. I got baggage from my past. I got baggage from people who have said things about me. I got baggage from the way I was treated as a youngster. I've got baggage by other church members and previous churches, not this one. I have baggage from all kind of other things that burdens my minds and my thoughts. And I even have this thing that I'm kind of going through that I'm trying to overcome, right? So in my prayer closet, I'm praying. I say, God, I feel like I'm not living to be the person that you've called me to be. I believe that there are more. And I say, Holy Spirit, will you reveal some things in my life that are not of you, and things that are maybe holding me back? And then maybe the Holy Spirit will. Holy Spirit. Yes. Yep. So the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Holy Spirit, choose the wrong zipper. Oh, look at that. There's this thing I've been carrying around. There's this insecurity that I've been carrying around my whole life. And the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, he reveals this to me, that this is an area in your life that you need to get rid of. Right? And so you easily just get rid of it. No problem. I got rid of it. That doesn't belong with me. That's resisting. It's coming out of my backpack. All of a sudden, I feel a little lighter, feel a little good. Oh, man, I'm feeling really good. But all of a sudden, now I'm having trouble with interpersonal relationships with other people, and I don't know why. I can't really relate to people. I know God's called me to believe in community, but I don't really like to stay away from people and really don't like people, if you're all real honest with me. I don't really like, people just bother me. You know, I know I'm supposed to, but... So Holy Spirit, will you reveal why I have so much trouble with these interpersonal relationships? Oh, wow. So I've been carrying this. Wow, you know what? It's offense. I'm offended at people because people don't live up to my expectations of who they're supposed to be. I live in this offense. And now I don't want to have any personal relationship. And then these people have hurt me. People have hurt me. When I tried to be for a friend, they hurt me. And I'm carrying around this offense. But here's the thing. I like this offense. It makes me feel comfortable. And actually, because if I put myself out there, I might get rejected. So this offense protects me. from other people hurting me. So I'm going to hold on to this offense for protection. So Holy Spirit, why don't you just put that right back? The Holy Spirit doesn't do it. I just can't reach back there and do it myself. Really, I would put it back there myself. And so I carry a weight around me because I refuse to deal with it. Because I refuse to resist it. Resist offense. Resist. I make it a friend because it comforts me. In some weird, demonic, say it like it is, demonic way, I choose to keep this offense in my backpack. And that way, I don't have to have friends. But then what I'll do is then I'll complain that I don't have any friends. And then I'll complain because other people don't like me. Then I'll complain because people reject me. And it's offense. This is tough, isn't it? But you know what's true? It'll set you free. You know, Jesus came. He spoke to me one time. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus spoke to me and he goes, if I didn't mean things like this, what did I mean? Like some ethereal brokenheartedness? No, there's specific brokenheartedness that Jesus came to heal. Right? Because if you don't, you'll be held captive. And you won't run as fast as God called you to run. And you won't have the impact that God has given you. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Give Eric a hand. He's so awesome. See, some of these things are easy to resist. Some of these other things are emotional and they deal with our inner workings of who we are. We need to resist them all the same. And then as I was studying, God gave me this. The word that we need to do is align. We need to align ourselves with the way God thinks, who God is, and not tolerate things that are less than in our lives. And let me say, that's a lifelong journey that we do, and we're walking through. But it doesn't mean we don't resist them. If you're battling insecurity in here this morning, resist it. That is not who you are. There's so much more. I guess I'm going to have to wait till next week. I'm going to be good and not do them. So we'll name these just real quick, and then we'll close. What do you do? What do you do? We already said this. Maintain a no tolerance for the kingdom of darkness. No tolerance. No tolerance. Number two, we need to know what God's word says versus what you are currently believing or acting on. Know what God's word says. Number three, break agreements with the things that you're agreeing with. Offense, that little illustration, I make an agreement with offense. Me and offense are going to be buds. We're going to be together. We're going to be good. It's not right and all that stuff, but it's going to help me and bring me comfort and bring me all those things, right? I'm going to make an agreement with those things, right? I'm going to make an agreement with low self-esteem because it gives me excuse to do different things, right? So I'm going to make agreements with those things. I'm going to break those agreements is what I'm going to do. I'm going to break those agreements. Low self-confidence is not for a believer. It's not who you're called to be. And I'm going to use my mouth to speak truth to bind the enemy. I'm going to use my mouth. I'm going to use my mouth. We said it before. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. If you fight thoughts with thoughts, you'll go crazy. And you'll do mental gymnastics in your head. There is a power. Jesus didn't say think to the mountain. Really wish it would move. No, he said, speak to it. He said, insecurity, move. I am who God says I am. I am loved by God. If God is for me, this is my own translation, I don't give a rip who's against me. If God's for me, if God's my shield and my back and the one who's, if goodness and mercy follow me everywhere, if goodness and mercy is following me everywhere, then what I'm going through is temporal. And God's my strength through the situation. God is my rock into my high tower. I can run into him and be safe. Even though all these people say all these bad things about me, I can run into him and be safe. Because it's unfaithful love. And then I can go because his unfaithful love is always around me. Unfailing. Unfaithful. Not unfaithful. That'd be bad. That's the opposite. Let me say it again. Because I want to make it right. His His unfailing love, his loyal love to me, I can run in and be safe. Even if I have junk, even if I'm not perfect, that's the definition of loyal love. Amen? Let's all stand together. So much more to say. We'll say it next week. Hallelujah. I think about that song that says, walking around these walls, that I thought by now they'd fall. God, you're faithful. You're faithful. Come on, Yeshua and him. We're going to ask the Lord this morning to reveal maybe some thoughts that you have. I'm just reminded. And this is not thoughts about your neighbor. This is not thoughts about, man, I hope they get it because they really need it. Man, I hope that Dennis Drinkwater really gets this message this morning. Because, man, maybe God will use me by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit to go tell him some things. I love you, Dennis. This is you and him. Because don't think it's strange when things attack you as though you're something that nobody else has to struggle with. Don't think it's you and you're the solo person that's being attacked by different thoughts. Different things, like something different is happening to you that's not happening to anybody else. That's why it says, because the same sufferings are experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. We're all going through something, all battling something. So ask this. Say, Holy Spirit, what is one lie that I'm believing? What is one lie that I'm believing? Not all the lies. If you start hearing how big of a loser you are and all this, you need to bind the devil. That's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a lie that you believe. So let's start over. Say, Holy Spirit, what lie am I believing? And then say this, pray this. Say, Holy Spirit, what do you say about that lie? Let me help you. I just heard the Holy Spirit for somebody in here. He says, you're enough. You're enough. You're not less than, you're enough. Yeah. I'm just going to endeavor to follow the Holy Spirit this morning. Whatever that thing is, you've been equipped with everything that you need. You don't lack anything. You're enough this morning. You're enough. Because you're loved by God. Because he's seated you in heavenly places with him. You're not trying to get there, you're with him. Thank you. We love you this morning. God, we worship you this morning in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you were sent to speak truth over us, to remind us of the things that Jesus said. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come and you bring perspective to our hearts. And God, help us to resist the lies in Jesus' name. And help us to align our lives with you in our thinking, our speaking, and in our doing. Help us to align those areas. And we thank you, God, that you've caused us to have life and live a life that brings glory and honor to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. You know, there are so many times I remember Julie and I were going through difficulties. We were separated at the time. And I remember living in a basement of somebody's house. And this was, oh my gosh, almost 18 years ago, 20 years ago. That's a long time. Praise God. It's a long time. But let me tell you, it works. I remember being in that basement, and I would get up and I would make myself go work out. They had a gym, and I made myself go work out in their gym, which I hated. It's good. So flesh, you got me in it. I'm punishing you. I'm going to remind you who's in charge. And I would go back into my room and I'd pace the floor, speak the word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I would not be bound by anything. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God, you've made me an heir to your promises. That all of your promises are yes and amen. And I say, God, you said, listen to me. I say, God, you said what God has joined together, no man put asunder. And that man was me that tried to put our marriage asunder, including me. And I just paced the floor. I later found out that the people who owned the house were like right above me. And I woke them up every single morning. Because I wasn't quiet. I wasn't quiet. In Jesus' name, it's got to go. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. I talked to somebody this week and they had a relationship breakup. And it was a guy. You know what I said? I go, you know what? Unworthy of you. Unworthy. That's strong. But you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are in relationship to him. I am loved by God. Amen. I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. If I'm an overcomer, then I'm an overcomer in every area in Jesus' name. Amen. Say it like we've been it this morning. Say, I can do what God says I can do. So that I am who God says I am. God says, actually, let me just say this. He talked about it this morning. In the book of Revelations, you know what they call believers? Overcomers. Say, I am an overcomer in every area. Devil, you're under my feet. In Jesus' name. Through Jesus, I take my authority. I take my seat in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, I've had all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Eat your spinach of God's word this week. Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week. Phew.